opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today on Therapy in a Nutshell, we're going to be talking about shy people. People that are introverts or just, you know, a little bit shy or just have to deal with the world from that personality persuasion. So we're going to talk about a little bit of the difference between extroverts and introverts, but mostly I want the purpose of this show is to help you recognize some coping skills and some ways to be who you are without apology, without putting yourself down, without allowing others to try and make you something that is not your normal nature, and hopefully give you just a little bit of relaxation that this might be who you are and that's okay and this is how you can deal with that. This is an issue that I've seen in my private practice. I've been in private practice for about 34 years and I've seen this a lot, that people get pushed and overwhelmed because they're shy and others try to make them into something that they don't feel that they can do. So it's a therapeutic issue as well as just accepting yourself issue. And I want to just talk about it so that maybe some of you that struggle with it out there can say, hey, that's me, and pick up two or three good ideas of how you might be able to handle it without feeling badly about yourself. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between an extrovert and an introvert. Extroverts are the ones who are kind of talkative and they're sociable. They make eye contact more readily. They can joke around. They're usually kind of lively. They tend to be more optimistic, but not necessarily. There are very negative, angry extroverts who do not hesitate to spout their opinion. And I think in this day and age, politically, we see that more and more, that people feel entitled to express their opinion. And if they're an extrovert, they might spout it off much more readily than if they're an introvert. They tend to be a little more touchy, like you can get them going on a subject or spouting that opinion much more easily, more active and social, and often tend to be more assertive, although not necessarily assertive. Don't mistake aggressive for assertive. Many extroverted people can be very aggressive in how they are extroverted, which is not necessarily a healthy, assertive kind of personality. So let's look at some of the characteristics of an introvert or a shy person. They tend to be more quiet and reserved. They're more silent, a little more passive. They tend to be very reliable, and they listen much more strongly often than an extrovert might. they tend to be calm. And also some of the characteristics that go along with them are they might be rigid. They might have very precise ideas of how they will or will not do things, and that's based on their being shy or introverted. They will have an opinion, but often think it and not say it out loud. So don't assume that a shy person does not have a political persuasion or they don't feel strongly about a topic that's up for discussion out on the table with a group of people. They might feel very strongly about it, but because they're more introverted and shy, they may keep that opinion to themselves and not speak up. Teachers have to watch out for this because you often assume, it's easy to assume, that an introverted, shy student is having trouble or doesn't get it. And then occasionally, you know, they'll have some kind of test and the shy person will absolutely ace the thing. And the teacher's like, whoa, I didn't even know that was in there because the kid's been so quiet. And I think teachers that have taught long enough are very aware of this. They do not assume that the silent kid is lacking in intelligence or can't do it. But classrooms can be very, very much of a push for a shy person. They'll have a question they want to ask, but they don't because as soon as they raise their hand and speak up, the whole room turns their attention to that person and they're like, ah, I'm on stage and I don't want to be up here on stage. Shy people often, one of their biggest fears is public speaking, and they just don't want to have that many pairs of eyes staring at them as they're trying to make a sentence. And they can get all tongue-tied just because they're feeling nervous and shy, not because they don't know what they're talking about. So that's a caution for anybody who is an extrovert. Just because somebody is shy or introverted and quiet, don't start making assumptions. Don't assume they don't have opinion. Don't assume that they are not intelligent or they can't, you know, express themselves. Don't assume that because they might have some trouble making eye contact, because that's very intense for them, that something's wrong, like their self-esteem is really low. Don't assume that because they're quiet, they're unhappy. I see that often where someone will come up to a quiet, shy person and go, smile, the world isn't that bad, you're fine, lighten up a little bit, why are you so quiet, what's wrong? I asked a couple of people before I did this show, when you see a quiet, shy person, what do you think? What goes through your mind? What are the assumptions that you make? And one person that I asked said, you know, when I see a quiet male, I often think that they're being introspective and listening and soaking things in. When I see a quiet female, I sometimes think, I wonder if somebody has abused her. I wonder if she's a victim. And the person recognized that both of those were prejudicial kind of thoughts, but they had never put it into words before. And when they really sat and gave me an honest answer, that's what came out. And even the person said, wow, I never knew I thought that until you asked me and I said it out loud. So people will tend to ask a shy, quiet person, are you okay? Is everything all right? And they might just be sitting there taking in their surroundings and what's being said. They may not have a strong enough opinion that they want to speak up and voice. Or they might just be super uncomfortable because being in a crowded situation with a whole bunch of people is not their cup of tea, and they don't particularly want to be there. And they're probably thinking inside, how can I leave without being rude? Or how can I get out of here without everybody getting mad at me? So the shy person often has established a set of coping skills for them. And most of my shy friends that I have would tell me my first coping skill is, I don't want to go. Or I'll say I'll go and then I'll find an excuse of why I can't go. And I'll back out at the last minute. Or I'll, I got a cough, I can't go. And especially in this day and age of COVID, all they have to do is say, I was exposed. I have to quarantine for 2 more weeks. Yay! It's nice that they get to be left alone for a reason that's not them being shy. So any of you that are shy people out there that are going, yep, that's me. Yeah, I do that. It's a very normal situation for people who aren't extroverts. And guess what? There are probably as many introverts as there are extroverts. And then there's a whole lot of people that are introverts, but they fake being an extrovert. They can go to a party and they can dig deep and flip a switch and visit with everybody and laugh and joke and, you know, just engage. And what you don't know is that when an introvert goes to a party and turns on the social part of them, they go home really exhausted because they have to dig really deep to keep pushing out that energy that's not normal for them. It's not their basic personality. So there are types of introverts, too, that you need to know. And some introverts can be all four of these, and some are only just one. There are social introverts that if they have to go into a big group of people, that's where their introversion kind of shows. And that's sometimes the most common introvert that we see. Then there's thinking introverts that shut down, get quiet. When they're thinking something, they really keep it to themselves. There's anxious introverts, and don't mistake that all shy people are anxious. They are not. But there are anxious introverts where they are, if they're pushed and forced to go out of their comfort zone, they get really anxious. And then there's restrained introverts where they're holding themselves back out of fear of looking stupid or drawing attention to themselves. But they have something to say, they want to say it, but they restrain themselves because they just don't want that kind of attention. So you can be all four of those, you can be one of those, and you can be a little bit or a lot. So think of it kind of on a spectrum. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I have a special guest in the studio who's one of the shyest people I know. And when I called him and said, hey, do you want to be on my radio show about shy people? He went, but he's here. So I'm going to introduce you to him in a few minutes. We'll be back.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air. Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and you're listening to the beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. Gorgeous flute music. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out all six of his CDs. He's won awards, countless numbers of awards, played all over the world, and his music is stunningly beautiful. Thank you, Randy, for letting us use your music on this show. Okay, we're going to go back to talking about introverted people. And I have sitting here in front of me in the studio is Curtis Moore. I have known Curtis since he was very young, since he was shorter than me. And he's very tall now. I'd like to thank you, Curtis, for your service in the Air Force to our country. You were amazing. But Curtis is very much an introvert and a shy person. Self-proclaimed, he will say that out loud.
Very much so.
Very much so. So it was absolutely hysterical when I called him and said, do you want to be on the show? He's like, no.
I'd rather not. I'd rather be at home.
Yeah. Going and talking to thousands of people out in the world, no. But he's here. Mm-hmm. And I think what got him is when I said, Curtis, look, you are so intelligent and articulate about what it's like to be shy that I think you could help a whole lot of people. Because here I am, this kind of extrovert, talking on the radio, but we have in the studio a true introvert. And he can tell you what it's like and share some of the things he's worked on to cope. And he and I can talk about it a little bit so you can help. So, Curtis, talk to the world here. Oh, no, there's only one person sitting in front of you. There's just us. Talk about being a shy introvert.
It's a hard balance. Like, along the way, I've learned tools to kind of help manage it and kind of keep things. I think the biggest, easiest way to put it is my social battery is not what everyone else is. The job that I work, I go there and I have to be happy-go-lucky and everything's sunshine and rainbows and fun. And it's like, it's a lot of work the entire time. By the time I get done with work, I want to go home and just hang out and recharge.
I love that you say the social battery because it denotes kind of a storage unit. Mm-hmm. And you go into work all day and drain your social battery. Where some other people who are introverted might feel real energized by all that interaction, but you feel drained.
Yeah, completely. By the time I get off work, I'm just like, I need to sit home and hang out and not do anything for a while. I've found that even, like, on the weekends, like, I need to set aside at least, like, a day and a half of just, like, me time to hang out and recharge. I find that, like, if I don't get that time to myself, just kind of to get my everything back in order, I enter the next week already drained, and then that week just drags on forever, and I'm just exhausted, and I don't have the energy to interact with people all the time. So it's kind of a hard balance, because then I have friends that want to invite me out, let's go do stuff, let's hang out, and it's like, I want to, then I find I've committed myself to too many things over the weekend, and I don't get that time to hang out and recharge, and then it just makes
You kind of go downhill.
Yeah.
What just struck me as you were talking is I know you love to ride motorcycles, mm-hmm. and you have a group of friends that you ride motorcycles
yep.
with. But riding a motorcycle has a me time sort of built into it. When I used to ride with Rich yep. all the time as a Harley rider and I'm on the back, I remember he said to me once, do you want to get microphones so we can talk? I said, no. I want to be on the back of the bike and leave me alone. I don't want you talking to me and interrupting my thoughts or my music or the book I'm listening mm-hmm. to. And so when you're riding your motorcycle, you're not gabbing with people. You're riding.
Yeah. Riding, you're there. It's just you to go and do your thing. I do have the Bluetooth, so I talk to people, a few people, as we go and ride. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I started the Facebook page where we have, like, 200-plus riders and we get together and go and do stuff. But I found I ended up, like, overcommitting myself again. It was like, I was the one responsible for coordinating rides and coordinating meetups, and it was, like, all on me. And I found, like, in between work and school and the motorcycle group and everything else, like, I was getting burnt out. And it's like, okay, I need to kind of dial this back a little bit. And
right, because if you're the coordinator, you feel like you have to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, which puts back the pressure on your social battery.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. You know, when I said to you this morning, if you come and talk about being shy, what are you worried about? And you were so articulate, but you're really safe with me, so
yeah.
you don't clam up. But
yeah.
you said I'm really worried. You do some.
I do some. When I get put on the spot, I feel like my brain runs at a million miles a minute, and then I start getting like speech jammed, where it's like I know what I'm going to say, but my brain's two sentences ahead, and then what comes out of my mouth and where my brain's at is not. It doesn't match up, and then that's super embarrassing when you start speech jamming and not speaking clearly and articulated and stuff, and that's embarrassing, and it's just like, oh.
Well, I love that statement, speech jam.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm afraid I'm going to get speech jam. And I just thought that was so cool. It's a very cool word.
I never noticed I did it too much until I was in the Air Force, and I was working kind of like at the airport, basically. So I'm sitting there selecting passengers for airplanes and that kind of thing, so I had to hop on a PA system. And I had to read this giant script, but I'm reading a script in front of 900 people that are sitting there staring at you, and like then your voice is delayed, and I'm sitting there trying to read a script in front of a bunch of people, so I'm already super nervous because that's not what I enjoy doing. And then your voice is delayed, and I'd sit there and I'd stutter in front of like 900 people, and that was just super embarrassing and even elaborated more of like why I don't like to speak in front of people and that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, it sets up kind of a fear loop. Yeah. If I speech jam, or then I get nervous and then I start stuttering, now everybody's really looking at me, and the fear takes on a life of its own and mm-hmm. becomes anxiety. And the third thing you said besides speech jam and stuttering is you're afraid your mind would go blank, that you're just like
that happens too.
Yeah, lights on, nobody home. Mm-hmm. Well, and that, I think that's what happens when people get overwhelmed. That they can go kind of blank and not know what to say. So if any of you are put on the spot in a classroom or at work in a meeting or with friends and people turn the attention all to you, remember Curtis's words. Do you get speech jammed? Do you start to stutter? Does your mind go blank? And recognize that those fears can take on a life of their own. So you're in a family with a lot of extroverts.
Very much so.
Very much so. How is it to be in a family with a whole bunch of extroverts when you're like the shy person, the quiet person?
Yeah, it's difficult. The hardest part for me was to like set boundaries. First of it was like realize like I'm an introvert, I need time to myself, and like that's okay. Like realizing like I need to do this for me so I can continue to be happy and actually have the energy to go out and be social and that kind of stuff. And like find like through the work and then with family, like oh come out and do stuff and help with this project and help with that. It's hard to tell family no, especially when you tell them no and they're like, well, but it's good for you to get out of the house and come and do things. So they'll ask you again, and then they'll ask you a third time, and then they'll ask you a fourth time, like come hang out and or come help with this project and that kind of thing. And like standing there and be like, no, like I need to do me, like I need to hang out of the house and recharge and that kind of stuff. And it's hard with family.
So there's a sense of either you look selfish, like you won't help,
yeah,
or they feel like something's wrong and they need to fix you.
Or you finally say yes and you break in, then you get there, and then the only thing you want to do is, I want to go hide on my phone, or I want to go, like, retreat back. Or you're there because you feel like you have to be, but then you really don't want to. You'd rather be at home doing something else, so, like, you're present, but you're not really there. And then it's kind of like, why did I even come? Because I'm here, but I really don't want to be, and I just want to kind of sit back on my phone.
Well, and then you're probably in trouble for sitting on your phone.
Exactly. Or you go disappear for 5-10 minutes, and then they're like, where are you at? Come hang out with us. It's like, oh, my gosh.
I have to go talk some more.
Yeah.
Okay, and so do you ever get overwhelmed by crowds, too? Like the screaming kids and the people I know that don't do loud noises, stuff. Red Robin.
Yeah.
Like chaotic and banging and lots of...
And
then the whole restaurant breaks into song.
Yeah, all the time. If I'm in a group of, like, 2-3 people, perfectly fine. Like, that's okay. That's what I'd rather be. If it's more than that and it's loud and there's lots of conversations going on, it's just, like, mm-hmm. it's too much stimulus and that kind of thing. Like, it's just everything kind of just starts to shut down. And it's like, I'm super uncomfortable. I don't want to be here. Like, my crutch is, I pull up my phone and start going through Facebook or whatever it is. And
I think that's a real important point. I think phones have become a crutch for a lot of people. And the message that they give is, I'm somewhere else. And that's what a shy person is trying to do. I don't want to be here with all this stimulus mm-hmm. or all this interaction, but I also don't want to be rude so I can escape into my phone.
Yeah,
yeah, so you're right. The phone has become like a coping mechanism sometimes for shy people or for any people. Yeah. I think a lot of people use their phone as a coping mechanism. So, all right, so what do you find is one of the hardest things for you to do as a shy person?
Hardest part? Maintaining those, like, social relationships, like, the people that are close, and you've kind of explained that, too. It's like, hey, like, this weekend, like, I just need some me time. Like, I need at least a day and a half. And my friend, like, oh, cool, so we can hang out for half the day on Saturday? I'm like, okay. Like, I mean, yes, technically we can, I guess. Yeah, like, okay, let's plan something. But the other one is the people that aren't, like, super close, you're not super close to, and they want to hang out, and you feel like they're not close enough to share. Like, hey, like, I don't want to not that I don't want to hang out, it's just like I need me time, and it's hard to kind of convey that back and forth. Like I have friends who are like, hey, come out to the bar and hang out with us. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like fun at all. It's like, I want to hang out, but I go there, and then it's just no fun whatsoever. I'm super uncomfortable, and I'm like, I'd rather be at home hanging out with my fish.
Yeah, I'd like to stare at my fish tank.
Yeah,
and
it's hard to kind of convey that back and forth, and I feel like the social battery kind of really helps kind of convey that across. It's like,
yeah.
I need time to recharge and kind of using that's kind of my,
I think it's
my
awesome.
Go-to.
It's a very good explanation because just saying I need me time, when people hear the word me, they start saying, oh, he's all into himself, he's a narcissist, he's a, you know, they judge that sometimes. But when you explain it with, my social battery is not huge, and when it's drained, I need to recharge it, or I'm not good to go to work for the next week. Do you feel like if you let your social battery be constantly empty for too long, does that make you get sick? Does it? What does it
Definitely.
Do to you?
It increases my stress because I don't have the energy to do with it, and stress goes up, and it's just not good. I've got some other line like health issues and that kind of thing. When I get stressed out, I want to go home and have a drink after work because that helps me unwind, and then having the beer doesn't help with my body with gluten and that kind of thing, so that inflammation goes up, and then leg pain starts, and then I get all sad because I'm in pain, and then it's just an endless little cycle.
Yeah, so if you're not taking care of yourself by making sure your social battery doesn't go to empty and stay at empty.
Yeah. Then I get cold sores and everything else, and it's just
so your immune system kind of goes bonkers.
Oh yeah, okay. I notice it. Like my digestion goes off. I get like sciatica nerve pain down my legs. Like it's all kinds of things. I get really bad like brain fog and like headaches. And I find like I'm up to like 6 cups of coffee in the morning to get moving, just to have the energy to make it through the day. And I'm just like. Okay.
And then that's
like,
not good for you either.
No, and then you can't sleep, and then you're not sleeping well, and it's just kind of, if I get that time to recharge, and then.
And you know what's interesting, is I really think you are describing what a lot of shy people do. They might drink a whole bunch of coffee in the morning to get going, to get energized. They blow their social battery at work or all day long dealing with people. They get home and try to drink a beer to unwind, and are going to have alcohol to unwind. And all of that sets their immune system down, and then their social battery gets lower and lower and lower. And so instead of making themselves the most healthy that they can be, they end up making themselves sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Curtis about things that he does to help cope in a healthy way, not a way that ruins his immune system. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE. Or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, or visit us at estategranite.com.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and I'm here with Curtis Moore, who has graciously come to go outside his comfort zone to talk about being an introvert and a shy person, because he's just trying to help other people really accept who they are and learn how to cope with it and to keep themselves healthy, too. And I just love it, Curtis, that one of your commitments to just recognizing you're a shy person and learning how to stand in your truth. And any of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you can go to my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, and listen to the one on Stand in Your Truth. Because what Curtis is talking about is if he stands in his truth and says to people, look, my social battery by the end of the week is on empty, and I have to recharge it if I'm going to take care of myself, I'm going to take care of my health, and not let my immune system go wonkers, and to get back to work on Monday morning and do it all again for another 5 days. So you've learned to just stand in your truth and say what you need, even when it's not popular, even when other people are saying, oh, no, come hang out with us. Yeah. Even when somebody thinks you might be being selfish by taking care of yourself. And I really admire that you've come so far with that, and it's cool. And that's what a lot of shy people don't have, is permission to be them. So talk a little bit about how you figured out to have permission to be you.
Oh, that's a hard one.
It evolved over time for you? Or?
Yeah, it was, I don't know.
How old are you now?
31.
31, right.
Yeah. Okay. Or should be me, I don't know. Like, so after the military, I struggled with a lot of different things, and it was just like I wanted to, you know, keep everybody happy is the biggest thing. So I went through a lot of stuff, moved back in with the family, and it was just, I was in a rough place, and the family was doing everything they could. Get me out of the house. Like, you're sad. Like, let's get you out of the house and get you to do stuff. Like, let's get you out to do stuff. And it was just like, I needed me time to do my thing, and that was the struggle. It was like, I would, like, just to keep them happy, say yes to everything all the time. And it was, I found I was always going out and doing things, and like, I was just, my battery was drained, and never had time to kind of recharge for me. And it kind of like became like an area of resentment. It was like, I really want to be at home right now, but I'm forced to be out here to do this thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I never felt that it's actually okay to be like, hey, I need to go do me. And it's okay to actually like spend time for like to do your thing to recharge, instead of constantly being out and doing all these things all the time and feeling guilty about it the entire time.
Yeah. And so I think what's really cool is you became aware that you were getting angry at other people.
Yeah.
Because you were allowing them to push you in a direction that they thought was good for you. And you knew it wasn't good for you, but you didn't know how to speak up and say, that's not good for me.
Setting those boundaries was the hard thing. Like, it's okay to say no, and then you say no, and they ask again, and then you say no, and then they ask again, and then you say no, and then they ask again, and you're like, oh my gosh, okay, fine, look, we'll go. It's just like, no actually means no, and actually setting those boundaries was a huge step.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I actually got that to where I was recharged, and I felt like, oh, I can actually go out and do this and not be miserable the entire time. It's like, okay, that's what I needed to be able to go out and do these things again. So recognizing that.
So what's really cool that I like that you're saying is if you take this social battery metaphor that you've got, which I think is beautiful, if your social battery is really not charged and not empty, you're not going to be able to get going. You can't start the car. You can't move.
Mm-hmm.
So that having that metaphor and having your close friends and your family understand what that means for you, and that you say, look, I've got to be alone right now to recharge my social battery, but I'll get back to you when I feel like I can go do something.
It's not that I don't want to hang out. It's just I can feel it like in my body that I'm just like, I'm not ready. I don't have the energy to go out and do this and that kind of thing.
So you check in with your social battery. If it's on empty, it needs to be a definite no. If it's on halfway full, it might be, you know, I might feel better tomorrow. Let me get back to you. Yeah, maybe tomorrow I can come over and have dinner with you guys or something like that.
It becomes hard balance when people are like, oh, in 2 weekends from now, on this date, let's go camping. And it's like, I have no idea how I'm going to feel rolling into that weekend of like, am I going to be worn out? Is that going to be like a good thing to recharge? And it's like, it's hard to commit to things out in the future when it's like, I don't know where I'm going to be at that point. It's like, yeah, sure, that sounds like fun at this moment. And then we get 3 weeks down the road and then I'm out camping and I'm just like, oh boy, like I'm going to be toast for the entire next week. Like this is going to be rough. So it's like, it's a hard balance. That's the thing that I struggle with the most is like maintaining those like social relationships of like not just saying no to everything, but not also like overcommitting myself and like finding that balance.
So. Well, and that motorcycle Facebook site is a good example. It ended up, it was a good idea, and you love riding the motorcycle, but it overcommitted you and drained you.
Cool. It grew too big, and then it became too much of a draw. Like, I still go and ride with the group, but I'm not as proactive. Like, let's organize a ride every single weekend with 40 people, then it's all on me to figure out the route and where we're going, and everybody gets there on time and everything else. Like,
right.
So it's more of kind of like a casual thing now where people kind of post groups if you want to go ride with 3 or 4 people, like it's kind of what it's kind of turned into now, which is great because that's what I'd rather do.
That's
with.
Perfect for you. Yeah. If you feel like riding, you can get on and see if there's people you want to ride with, or do you want to go out by yourself and ride?
Yep.
Okay. So what I'm really liking is that you took time to figure out what you needed to do to be yourself, to honor what you need, to take care of your own health, and to tell the people that you are close to, this is how I need to function. And it isn't, and it's really important for people to realize this is not a bad thing. This is not where you say something's wrong with you and we have to fix Curtis. So let's look at the idea that introversion to extroversion is on a scale, on a spectrum. Because so many things you hear me talk about on this show is things are on a spectrum. They're not all or nothing. So we have people that are so introverted that it's painful for them. And they will basically sink into themselves. And then we have people that are so extroverted that they're super gregarious and they're out there and nothing scares them in terms of public anything. And then there's people that fall somewhere in the middle. And it's interesting because everybody thinks I'm so extroverted and I'm so gregarious, but I'm probably more in the middle. Like, I would rather be with a few close friends quietly being real than be at a big, huge party and making small talk. Can I be at a big, huge party and make small talk? Yes, but it is not my preference. I would rather have it smaller and quieter and more real and intimate where people are talking about true things within themselves. And that's kind of someone that's more in the middle. I wouldn't say I'm an introvert. I'm not shy. But I'm also not like this, you know, hugely gregarious person that wants to go out and do social stuff constantly. The extreme extroverts get their social battery charged by being social. The extreme introvert, being social is almost something creates anxiety or panic or drains them totally. Mm-hmm. So where do you fall on that spectrum?
I feel like I used to be on the extreme introvert side of the things. Like, if I would go out and eat, I'd go at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon because there'd be nobody in the restaurant. Like, it would be me and like the server and like maybe one other person because it'd be quiet. Because if I went at 5:30, it was just too much. I'd have to talk to people and that kind of thing. As I figured out how to like recharge my social battery, I've shifted more towards a little bit more in the middle. Definitely lay on the, I'm a big introvert. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can strike up conversations with people, but like, at work, like, I can do that. Like, that's fine. But, like, I still, out in public, I'm not going to go talk up and talk to a random stranger. Like, that freaks me out. Like, that's just not me.
That's not you.
I mean, no, at work, I can do it. I can fake it there. And, like, we're all there to do stuff. But it's definitely on the introvert side of things.
You have a repertoire of things to talk about, too, the work-related things.
Exactly.
So, and that really helps. Mm-hmm. And when the last section of the show, we're going to talk about some coping mechanisms that give you some skills to help you navigate being an introvert. But what's really important that you're saying is when your social battery gets full and you allow yourself to do that, it's easier for you to go out and interact with the world.
Yeah. I've gradually started shifting a little bit more towards being being social than what I was, and actually going out and doing stuff and having the energy to do so, like realizing, like, if I charge my battery, I'll actually want to go out and, like, hey, let's go and grab a burger and a beer with a couple friends. Like, that actually seems like an enjoyable thing to do now. As before, it was like, I'd rather just hang out at home and not talk to anybody. So, like,
right. Well, I think your battery was constant at the deficit. And so now you've learned to charge it, and so you actually have some time that you can engage. Does it work for you, like you've got this camping trip coming up you were talking about? If you say, all right, this next weekend, I'm going camping with some friends, so I'm going to work really hard for 2 weeks before that to not have my battery be empty by the time I'm supposed to go camping. Does that work? Does it help?
Yes. Like, I know I'm doing that in the future, so it's like this weekend, like, I'm getting at least like a day and a half, almost 2 days, just to recharge. And I mean, camping, it's just a couple of close friends, so that won't be too bad of a thing, but it's just like, I know it's going to be a...
Yeah, it's a little more of a push than staying home by yourself.
Yeah.
And when you say there's no escape, I think that's important because you might say to your friends, I'm going to go take a walk by myself. And if they're good, close friends who understand this, you can say, I need some quiet. I'm going to go take a walk. Were you mad at us? Did we say something wrong? No, it has nothing to do with you guys.
I committed to go camping. I just committed myself to 2 full straight days of let's have social interaction and talk and just happy-go-lucky the entire time and, like, have fun. Like, it was just like...
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I actually say out loud, I'm done being social.
Yeah.
And that's for pretty much an extrovert saying that, you guys. So imagine if you're an introvert and you're done being social. It's like you're done. So it's important. So I want you to keep in mind that if you're on that spectrum from an introvert to an extrovert, you don't necessarily fall into one or the other. There might be times that you're very extroverted in certain situations and more introverted than others. And there might be times that you just sit squarely in the middle and you would rather be home doing nothing or doing something quiet. Mm-hmm. But social obligations mean you have to go be an extrovert for a while.
Yeah.
That's not unusual, and it doesn't mean something's wrong with you. So all of you extroverts that are listening out there, introverts don't need to be fixed. Okay? You don't need to ask them what's wrong. You don't need to tell them to smile. You don't need to assume that something has happened to them that's bad. You just need to accept them from where they are. So if you have a friend who's an introvert, you might go over to them and sit with them quietly. And you might start up a conversation on something you know they love. Like if I saw Curtis, I might go sit next to him at a party and say, hey, have you been out riding lately?
Yep, I can talk about motorcycles all day.
Yeah, because I know Curtis and I love Curtis and I could I know he'd be comfortable talking about motorcycles. So those are things that if you have an introverted friend, know a couple of things that gets them talking and then don't push on them. So that's the coping mechanism for the extrovert who has introverts in their family. The other thing is letting them have boundaries. You know, let them say no and let them tell you their social battery is empty and that they need to recharge it. And honor that and say, okay, cool, let us know when you might be ready to come over and hang out or have a beer or have dinner with us. Because we love you and we miss you. And then the introvert can say, thank you, I appreciate that. All right, so we're going to go to break, and when we come back, Curtis and I are going to give you some very clear coping skills that will help you navigate being an introvert in a chaotic world. We'll be back in a minute.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Black Bear Diner is really spicing things up for the fall. Their classic homemade chili is back by popular demand. Grab a cup, bowl, or have it in their new chili cheeseburger. They've also added French Red Hot Buffalo wing sauce to your choice of condiments. Spice it up at Black Bear Diner. Stop by 2605 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading or learn more at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about shy people, about introverts. I'm here with Curtis Moore, who is a self-proclaimed introvert and shy person. His Air Force service was exemplary, and he did an excellent job. And he is helping people find some coping skills because he's worked on this himself and does much better than he used to with his shy, introverted personality. So one of the things we want to give people is some coping skills. And you might already be doing some of these. That's cool. You might find one or two that you go, hey, that's a good one. I can do that. And I want to help you do it in a little more seamless kind of way, where the basis for the seamless introvert to be out in the world is to accept who you are. So many shy people will say, I'm so shy, I need to fix that. I need to change that. Or everybody tries to change me or fix that, and they act like something is wrong with me. So the first thing about coping with being an introvert is to recognize that's who you are, and that's okay. And you can accept yourself for who you are. So here's the, and Curtis, you can speak to this, the classic shy, introverted person who enters into a conversation is taught to say, how about the weather we're having today? Or they might talk about the 49ers or the sports team because they're taught, bring up a subject that's safe, that isn't politics or something horrid that you're going to talk about. And then that can feel contrived and kind of awkward.
Yeah.
So one of the things I like to teach people is to have a couple of openers for themselves, that they're going to take their opener and enter a conversation with that. So, like, this is, for example, I would teach somebody who's shy, and you tell me if this resonates with you. I'd say, okay, when you walk into a group of people, practice silence. I have to teach extroverts that all the time. Introverts are like, yeah, I'm good with that. Okay, so you enter into a conversation, and you practice silence, and you see what's going on with the conversation, and you try to be attentive. If at some point somebody turns to you and says, hey, Curtis, how you doing? You answer, right? Great, how are you doing? What have you been up to lately? There's your phrase that you're going to have something. Now, yeah. For you, motorcycles
yep.
would be a very safe thing for you to say, I've been riding my motorcycle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That gives them a way to say, oh, where have you gone? Or what kind of motorcycle do you have? Or how long have you been riding? You could answer all of those questions,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's kind of your bump question, your bump statement. You're going to enter the conversation quietly. When somebody turns their attention to you and asks you a question, you're going to maybe turn it to motorcycles because they'll say, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Like, totally ordered like 9 fish tanks last weekend. And people are like, oh, wait, fish tanks for what? And then now I can talk about fish for a while and the conversation goes somewhere and it's not super uncomfortable the entire time because it's something I know a lot about.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
And so you take your comfortable conversations, which for you are motorcycles mm-hmm. or fish tanks, and enter it into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in a comfort zone. Okay, so shy people often think they have to figure out what the other person wants to talk about and pull that out of them.
I'll ask an open-ended question a lot of times. It's like, so how was your weekend? Like, or what?
What are you into?
No, like, completely, like, kind of lead it towards, like, what did you do fun over the weekend? Like,
mm-hmm.
get them thinking about, like, what is something that got them excited over the weekend? And then that's like, okay, that's something that they're interested in. It's kind of one of the tools that I do. So it's like, oh, how'd you do this weekend? Like, and if someone's not having a great time, they're like, oh, you know, nothing. I just sat at the house all day. And it's like, okay, well, for some people, sitting at the house all day is a great thing. Like, I love that. And it's like, okay, what show are you watching on Netflix right now? Did you start watching Squid Game or whatever the hot one is? And then there's something common that you can kind of talk about. It's kind of the...
So if somebody says, I haven't done anything, it's been pretty stressful, or blah, 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 you can say, you know, staying home by myself is one of my favorite things. What Netflix shows are you watching?
I did the exact same thing. Like,
So you can relate to that. Thing. You know, when Rich was dying, my husband, people used to say, what'd you do fun this weekend? And I'd think, nothing. I was taking care of a guy with a brain disease. And they'd push on me sometimes. Well, come on, you must have done something fun. No, didn't. You know, leave me alone. So sometimes that question will get met with somebody being uncomfortable. I didn't do anything. I didn't know. And so if they say they stayed home alone and did nothing, or it was really stressful, you can relate and say, I love doing that. I love staying home by myself. So what Netflix show are you into?
Yeah.
So that's a way to have a repertoire ready in what you can do. Then you're not going to get tongue-tied. You're not going to start stuttering. You're not going to go brain dead. And if you do get quiet and silent because you don't know what to say, how is it if you said, you know, sometimes my brain just goes blank and I have no idea what to say. Do you ever do that?
No. I pretend to start reading something on the monitor or like, oh, I was doing something in my head real quick. I'm sorry, like make an excuse for it kind of thing. Like,
okay, and does that help segue back into a conversation for you?
Yep. Okay. It definitely does.
Okay, good. So you have a couple of coping mechanisms that you do. All right, mm-hmm. that get you talking. The other thing is, many shy people are afraid that they're going to forget somebody's name. You see the look on Curtis's face right now.
Names are impossible.
Okay, because your brain's kind of going blank.
Yeah.
So what I think is really important is when you walk up to somebody, like in a grocery store that you normally see, like you work in a chiropractor's office, you might see a patient that you've seen every week for...
I've seen this person 20 times and they walk up to the front counter, I forgot my card. And they sit there quietly, and it's like, cool, so your name is... Or spell your last name for me real quick. I feel terrible, because it's like...
Yeah, spell your last name.
Names are just not my thing.
S-M-I-T-H.
Like, I can remember their face, exactly what all their history was, what initially brought them in. Like, all these different situations. Like, I can remember everything about them, their face, and, like, how long they've been coming in. I can remember all that, but, like, the name specifically is just, like, my brain does not.
Okay, so there's a really good coping skill if you're a person who doesn't do names real well.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.